Chapter 9. Consequence. Wapiri was quiet for a long time. She thought about what Wulumi had said. Warriors are also afraid, but they do what needs to be done according to their conviction, even when they are afraid. That is courage. Wapiri thought again about Wumbi, her desert wolf friend. For quite some time, she kept their friendship a secret. She was too afraid of what the forest wolves would say. But after hearing about the mountain wolves and Bumdu, she was no longer concerned about what others thought of her, because she was not a coward. She was becoming a warrior wolf. She was going to be courageous and tell everyone the truth about her friendship with a desert wolf, no matter how angry or mean some of the forest wolves might be. Then she asked Wulumi, "Uncle, why do the desert wolves and the forest wolves dislike each other?" Wulumi got up to put a few more logs on the fire. When he sat down again, he let out a long sigh and said, "Wapiri, I do not think they even know anymore. The tribes dislike each other simply because that is how they were raised. In each tribe, each generation followed the example set by the generation before them, so it was part of their culture. Each generation, even as adults, simply followed the previous one without ever questioning what they have been taught, and they believed that their tribe was right and the other wrong. It is sad, because I know that in ancient times, the desert wolves and forest wolves were friends, even though they were different. In those days, both tribes had their own laws and their own way of life, but they respected each other and they appreciated the beauty of their differences. The forest wolves were fascinated by how the desert wolves lived in close harmony with each other, and the desert wolves were mesmerized by the elegance of the forest wolves. It is said that one day, many generations ago, the two leaders of the tribes had an argument. No one can even remember how it started, although rumor has it that both leaders were in love with the same she-wolf. After the initial argument, the tribes soon started arguing about whose laws were right and whose laws were wrong. The leader of the forest wolves said that only their forest laws and way of life were right, and that the desert wolves were wrong. Of course, the desert wolves also claimed that their desert laws were the only true laws and that the forest wolves were wrong. It became such a heated argument that they ended up having a terrible fight. Before long, their fighting spilled over to their families and then their tribes. Soon all the forest and desert wolves started fighting each other because of an argument between two leaders. It has caused so much pain and sadness, and yet the fight still continues today. Wapiri was very sad when she heard this story. She asked, "Uncle, so who was right and who was wrong? In this story, who are the good wolves and who are the bad wolves?" Wulumi answered, "Ah, Wapiri, again you are asking about right and wrong and good and bad. There's no easy answer, but I do know this. When we are young, our parents show us the difference between good and bad as they understand it. They either choose for us or they help us choose correctly. And when we are young, we must trust them because they love us and they want the best for us. But as you become older, your parents will not always be there to help you. Then you will have to choose for yourself what is good and what is bad." Wulumi was silent for a while and then said, "Wapiri, do you remember the time you attended the forest school with me? You learned many things there, and even though you were still very young, I think you gained a better understanding of the meaning of right and wrong, or good and bad, than most creatures. Think back to all you saw and learned at the forest school." Forest school. Since ancient times, all forest wolf cubs who wanted to become warrior wolves had to spend several days at the forest school to learn about the beauty and secrets of the forest and its creatures. To become a warrior wolf, it is important to respect nature and understand its teachings. Wapiri was still a very young cub when she was sent to the forest school for the first time, but because she had always been so adventurous and inquisitive about life, her parents knew she was ready. A few weeks before Wapiri had to leave for school, she asked Walumi to be one of the guide wolves. According to the tradition of the forest school, older warrior wolves could accompany and guide the young cubs to teach them about the forest and the way of the warrior wolves. Although Walumi was then still the leader of the tribe, he agreed to be her guide. There were also two other wolves who would join Walumi as guides, Waru and Wanga. They were Walumi's childhood friends. Walumi, Waru and Wanga had all been raised together. From a young age, they had been on so many dangerous adventures and remarkable journeys that the other wolves often referred to them as the Wild Ones. Over time, the three of them had formed a very special bond. So it was Walumi, Waru, Wanga, little Wapiri, and more than 10 other cubs who left to attend the forest school. They would spend several days in the illuminated forest, followed by several more days in the shadow forest. Illuminated Forest. The illuminated forest was very popular amongst most of the creatures of Unloria because it was truly beautiful. But to Wapiri, it did not really look like a forest. It was not overgrown with plants and trees, and it was not really wild at all. In fact, it looked more like a park than a forest. Great green grassy fields covered most of the illuminated forest. The fields all looked like perfectly shaped rectangles, and the grass was always short and neat. There were many trees, but not many different types of trees. There were only apple and pear trees, and they only grew in certain areas. These trees all grew to the same height, stood in perfectly straight lines, and always had lovely fruit hanging from their branches. A sparkling river ran through the illuminated forest. The river flowed in a straight line, without twisting or winding as most rivers do. It was clean and crystal clear, with shiny rocks clearly visible at the bottom. Every part of the illuminated forest was marked clearly and fenced to ensure that nobody would get lost, and so that danger could be spotted from far away. It was a wonderful and safe place, and mainly inhabited by forest deer. When Wapiri looked at the forest deer, she saw they were beautiful creatures with smooth skin, long limbs, big ears, and large eyes. They looked different from all other deer in Unloria, as they all had perfectly straight black stripes running all the way from the front of their noses, over their backs, right to the tips of their tails. It was very important for the forest deer to have that line, because they believed that the straighter the line, the more beautiful the deer. The forest deer always dressed fashionably, and they were well known for their elegance. Wapiri noticed that all the forest deer looked very much alike. They were also always standing together in groups, so visitors sometimes found it difficult to distinguish one from the other. They did not like surprises, and they were certainly not fond of change. No, they preferred routine and familiar things. It was well known that the forest deer were very happy in the illuminated forest, and that is why they never travelled beyond its borders. They preferred to remain in its comfort, safety and beauty. Most of the creatures of Unloria said it was good and right to live like a deer in the illuminated forest. During her time in the illuminated forest, Wapiri observed all these things about the forest and the deer. She was fascinated by their beauty and elegance. After a few days in the illuminated forest, the time came to move to the Shadow Forest. Shadow Forest. The Shadow Forest was a magical place filled with wonder, but it was not very popular amongst the creatures of Unloria, probably because it was simply too strange. Wapiri noticed that the Shadow Forest was very different from the illuminated forest. Here the trees grew high into the sky, and the leaves formed thick canopies like umbrellas, allowing very little sunlight to shine through. There were many different shrubs and plants growing in the shadow of the trees. They were leafy and grew closely together. In fact, the growth was so dense that once you were inside the forest, you could not see far ahead at all. It was very easy to get lost in the shadow forest, and there were many hidden dangers, from poisonous plants to venomous creatures. Many visitors said that it often felt as if the shadow forest wrapped its arms around them. Sometimes it comforted them, but sometimes it squeezed them uncomfortably. For Wapiri, the shadow forest was both terrifying and mysteriously beautiful. She came to realize that it is important for warrior wolves to spend time in the shadow forest Because, as with most things in life, sometimes even in darkness and discomfort, there's beauty and knowledge to be found. Because the Shadow Forest was such a strange place, most creatures avoided it. But not the forest boars. They lived deep in the Shadow Forest, and they loved it. Few would describe these boars as beautiful, but they were certainly interesting. It was said that not a single boar looked the same. Each and every one had qualities that made them different from the next. One boar would have long, twisted tusks, while another had tiny, straight tusks. One boar would be covered in warts, while another had no warts at all. The list of differences was endless. You did not often see many boars together, as they preferred to be by themselves. In fact, you did not often see boars at all, as they were quite shy. But if you were lucky enough to see them, you would notice that they always seemed to be somewhat distracted or even lost in thought. Not because they had short attention spans, but simply because they were probably engrossed in an adventure or exploring a new place or interest. Wapiri learned that boars were very curious creatures. They were always busy looking for something, always asking questions about everything, and they were always trying something new. That is probably why the boars loved the Shadow Forest, because they never grew bored. There was always something new to look for, and there was always a new adventure around the corner. They also never seemed afraid, or at least they never seemed to be too afraid, because they were always willing to search deeper and deeper in the depths of the Shadow Forest. But as they were always looking for something, the forest boars never settled, and for many of the creatures of Unloria, this was unsettling. Most creatures did not think it was good or right to remain searching for something without ever settling down. Wapiri saw all these things during her time in the Shadow Forest. She felt a strange sense of fellowship with the boars because she was also always exploring life through an adventure. It was clear to Wapiri that there were great differences between the boars of the Shadow Forest and the deer of the Illuminated Forest. Wilume looked at Wapiri. He smiled as he thought of how much she had grown since her time in the forest school. He told her, "When you think back to your time in the Illuminated Forest and the Shadow Forest, tell me, what did you learn about right and wrong, or about good and bad?" Wapiri knew this was a very important question, so she closed her eyes, breathed slowly, and thought about her experience carefully. She was quiet for a very long time, and when she opened her eyes, they were shining brightly. Then she answered, "Uncle, the first thing I learned was that although the boars and the deer are very different creatures, they are all special. After watching them closely, I realized that the deer living in the Illuminated Forest are really happy with their way of life. It is clear that they are living according to their conviction. Most of the creatures of Unloria believe that the deer are living a good life and that they are doing the right thing. I also believe that the choices the deer make are the right choices for them. But Uncle, I then saw that the boars in the Shadow Forest are also really happy and living according to their convictions. Even though many of the creatures of Unloria frown upon their lifestyle, I believe that they too have made the right choices for themselves. So, even though the boars and the deer made different choices, both are truly happy and both seem to have made the right choices. So I think what is right and what is wrong depends on who we are. If we do the things that are most important to us, the things that make us happy, and live according to our conviction, then surely we are making the right choices. It seems to me that each of us has our own right and our own wrong, because we are all unique." Hearing her answer, Wilumi's heart beat warmly. It was clear that even as a young cub, Wapiri had great wisdom. "I am so very proud of you, Wapiri. We are indeed all different. Warrior wolves understand that all creatures are unique because warrior wolves know that they themselves are unique. And that is why warrior wolves never judge other creatures. Warrior wolves respect all creatures because warrior wolves respect themselves." Wilumi continued, "So, Wapiri, do you now understand why I say that when we talk about right and wrong, there's not always an easy answer? Because right and wrong can mean different things to different creatures. Old philosophers can talk about it for hours and find no answer, but warrior wolves have to act. So, instead of talking about right and wrong, warrior wolves are more concerned with the consequences of their actions. Wapiri, listen carefully. In the end, this is what it really means to be a warrior wolf. Warrior wolves make choices. Then they accept responsibility for the consequences of those choices. Willumi could see that Wapiri was not sure what he meant with the words consequence and responsibility, so he explained. Consequence is the result of something. It is what happens after you do something. It is the way something ends up. If you jump into a river, you will become wet. If you put your hand into a fire, it will burn. If you push a glass off the table, it will fall to the floor and shatter. So, the consequence or result of jumping into the river is getting wet. The consequence of your hand in a fire is a burnt hand. And the consequence of pushing the glass off the table is a broken glass. Responsibility is about owning up to something. It is when you do not blame someone or something else for what happened and you do not make excuses. It is when you say, these things happened because of the choices I made. It was because of me. I accept the consequences. You see, Wapiri, cowards always make excuses and blame others. But warrior wolves make the choices they believe are right and then hold their heads high and say, it was my choice. If warrior wolves make mistakes, they admit to it and accept punishment. If they were correct and successful, they accept the rewards. When Wapiri heard her uncle say this, she thought about the times she had made choices, and then when things went wrong, she blamed others or made excuses. One specific incident came to mind. Wapiri's mother, Wusibi, had a special room in their house where she kept all the family heirlooms and items with special meaning or memories. Nobody was allowed to play in that room because many of the items were old and valuable and could break easily. But one day Wapiri did not listen to her mother's instruction and chose to play inside the room with her friends. They were playing a bit rough and one friend pushed her a bit too hard. Wapiri fell and knocked over a very old vase that had been in the family for a long time. It fell to the floor and shattered into many pieces. When her mother came into the room, Wapiri was afraid and blamed the incident on her friend. She said a friend pushed her too hard and that it was her fault. Wapiri thought back to how disappointed her mother was that day. Now Wapiri realized that she should not have shifted the blame. She should have accepted responsibility for the consequences because she had chosen to play in the room in which she was not supposed to be. She should have said to her mother, "It happened because of me. I chose to play there. I am very sorry." Then she should have accepted whatever punishment came her way. Wapiri bowed her head. She knew she did not act like a warrior wolf that day. She said to Willumi, "Uncle, to accept responsibility is not easy for a young wolf." Willumi sighed. "You are right, Wapiri. It is not easy for young wolves to accept responsibility. But even for an old wolf like me, it is also not easy. And as you get older, you will have to accept more and more responsibility. This is life, and that is why we have to be very strong." Wapiri, do you remember our time near the end of the forest school, when we were on the Howling Mountain? There it became very clear exactly what it meant to make a choice and then accept responsibility for that choice. Let me remind you. Howling Mountain. The forest school had not yet finished, and Willumi, Wapiri and the other wolves were still deep in the shadow forest. The cubs had grown uncomfortable and scared in the constant darkness of the forest, so Willumi had decided to pack up their camp and move to the Howling Mountain. The Howling Mountain was in the heart of the shadow forest. It rose high up into the sky and was a magnificent sight to behold. Sometimes in winter, its highest peak would be covered lightly in snow. The foot of the mountain was as lush as the rest of the shadow forest, but the plant life grew less dense the higher you climbed. There were only a few old trees with strangely shaped branches on the mountain, so whenever the wind blew through the trees, it caused an eerie howling sound that could be heard from afar. That is how the mountain got its name. The mountain was also home to the Forbidden Cave, a mysterious place which no one was allowed to enter. All the creatures of Unloria knew and respected the cave, because according to legend, this was where the old laws of Unloria were written. Some creatures believed the stories that ancient spirits living in the cave had created the laws, but others said it was where old wise creatures had come together to write down guidelines to help everyone live good lives. Nobody knew the truth. However, it was forbidden to enter the cave, not only because it was regarded as a sacred place, but also because it was very dangerous. There were many tunnels where you could get lost easily. These tunnels had slippery surfaces, sharp rocks, or deep holes where you could fall to your death. They also often led to dead ends. There was an old legend about a tunnel that led all the way from deep inside the cave to a secret doorway near the foot of the mountain, but nobody had ever found it. Walumi decided they should camp high up on the side of the mountain, not far from the entrance to the Forbidden Cave. Being that high up on the mountain would mean that they were back in the sunlight. The spot would also allow the cubs to see how beautiful the forest looked from above. It was a hard climb, but well worth it, because as they reached their new campsite, there was a fresh breeze and they could all breathe deeply again. As they looked down on the forest, they saw that the leafy canopies of the trees were so interwoven that it looked like a giant soft carpet. The cubs all laughed when they realized how gentle and inviting the forest seemed when they looked at it from high up on the mountain. After all, just a few hours before, they had been terrified of its mysteries. Whenever situations seemed dark and difficult, warrior wolves remember to climb high and look down on their problems. From high above, warrior wolves can see that the challenges facing them are usually much smaller than they thought. From this vantage point, warrior wolves can think with clear minds. The wolves erected their tents around a warm campfire. They were all very tired after the long climb up the mountain. Even Wapiri, who was always full of energy, was exhausted. Shortly after they had eaten, they went to sleep. Walumi was in a deep slumber after the long, hard day, but a soft howling sound that grew persistently louder woke him from his slumber. With a start, he realized that a mountain wind would soon be upon their campsite. The next moment, a strong wind shook his tent. He then knew that a terrible storm had formed suddenly. Walumi jumped up, shouting for all the cubs to join him. The wind started ripping the tents to shreds. Sand and dust stung their faces. One of the ancient trees nearby was shaken so hard in the gale that some of its branches broke off and fell to the ground. Then the wolves heard thunder in the sky. They looked up and saw that clouds had gathered, and although it was not yet raining, there were flashes of lightning everywhere. The night sky was ablaze. The next moment, a lightning bolt struck the side of the mountain very close to them. The cubs were terrified. Then there was another lightning strike, even closer. Too close. Walumi knew they needed shelter urgently, and the entrance to the Forbidden Cave was close by. According to the laws of Unloria, it was forbidden to enter the cave. It was wrong to enter. But to risk the lives of the cubs in the lightning would also be wrong. So instead of wondering about right and wrong, Walumi acted like a warrior wolf, as he quickly considered the possible consequences. He knew if they stayed on the hill, they might be struck by lightning. He knew if they entered the cave, they would be breaking the ancient law and he would risk getting into trouble with the elders. Perhaps he would even be banned as leader of the tribe. There were many risks to consider, but he had very little time. Walumi was afraid, but not too afraid to act. For him, the safety of the cubs was far more important than what the elders would do to him. He made his choice, and he would accept responsibility for it. He shouted, "Go inside the cave, now!" All the cubs scrambled inside. Walumi made sure he saw Wapiri enter, and then he, Waru and Wanga also ran inside. Barely a moment after they had entered the safety of the cave, there was a brilliant white light and a deafening explosion. followed by what seemed to be an earthquake as the cave's entrance started collapsing. Willumi was stunned. For a moment, he could not move from the shock, but his senses returned just in time to allow him to jump out of the way as the entrance caved in completely. He shook his head to clear his thoughts, and he realized that a bolt of lightning had struck outside the entrance, causing it to collapse. He looked around quickly. It was dark, but somehow there was enough light for him to see that Wapiri and all the cubs were fine, although some of them were clearly rattled. But then he saw Waru was injured. The explosion had caused a sharp piece of rock to burst loose, and it had made a deep cut across Waru's upper leg. It was bleeding a lot, so Willumi tore a piece of cloth from his own shirt and tied it around the wound to stop the bleeding. As Willumi was busy treating the wound, it dawned on him that if he had taken even a moment longer to decide whether they should break the ancient laws by entering the cave, the bolt of lightning would have killed them. He thought to himself, sometimes we have to think, rethink, and think again carefully before we make a choice. But sometimes we must make our choices without hesitation. Willumi realized that the consequences of his choice was that all the wolves were still alive. He was relieved. But when he looked at the collapsed entrance, stacked with large heavy boulders, he knew they would not be able to clear the entrance from inside. They were trapped. Willumi started exploring the cave and found that it was much larger than he expected, with a number of different chambers. There were many strange images and writings on the cave walls, and it became clear that once, long ago, creatures had made the cave their home. He wandered deeper and deeper into the cave until he came to the end of the main chamber, which then split into several smaller tunnels. Willumi realized they would have to follow the dangerous dark tunnels and go deep into the belly of the mountain if they were to find an exit. He had two choices: wait at the entrance or go into the tunnels to look for an exit. If they stayed near the entrance, some of the other wolves might eventually come looking for them. Yet, that might take several days. Willumi realized that they did not have time, as they had left all their food and water in the tents, and Waru was losing blood fast. If they went into the tunnels, they faced terrible dangers. They could get lost easily, and there was no guarantee that there was an exit. But at least this option gave him the chance to save Waru and the cubs. There was no right or wrong answer. There were only the possible consequences for which he would be held responsible. Willumi was a warrior wolf. He made a choice. He walked back and told Waru and Wanga his plan. Being injured, Waru would stay by the collapsed entrance of the tunnel with all the cubs, while Willumi and Wanga would venture into the smaller tunnels to seek a way out. They all knew this was very dangerous, but at least a choice had been made. With worried faces and sad hearts, the wolves bid each other farewell. Willumi gave Wapiri a long hug. He did not know if he would ever see her again. Willumi and Wanga then made their way into the depths of the cave towards the tunnels. They did not know which tunnel to choose. There were no signs to guide them, and they had no idea what awaited them. They were afraid, but they were warrior wolves, so despite their fear, they chose to act. Willumi entered a small tunnel to his right, while Wanga, his dear friend, took a tunnel to the far left. Once Willumi was entirely alone in the darkness of the tunnel, he felt a shiver of fear running down his spine. He was all by himself, surrounded by terrible darkness, and he knew about all the dangers that might await him. For a brief moment, he thought about going back to the entrance of the cave to wait patiently in the hope of being saved. But then he shook the thought from his head. He had made his choice. He was going to find a way out and save the cubs. He was not going to be overcome by fear. He was not going to give up. He moved deeper and deeper into the mountain, looking for the exit. He spent hours, perhaps even a day, slowly crawling through tiny, different tunnels, barely able to see. Sharp rocks scratched him. He was bruised from bumping his head against unseen rocks repeatedly, and strange insects that lived in the darkness bit him. He had to pay attention every moment to avoid falling into a pit or being impaled. But despite it all, he just kept on going. Eventually, Even the mighty Wulumi felt exhausted. He desperately wanted to continue, but his body and mind were drained. He needed to rest. He was just about to close his eyes when he noticed what seemed to be a vague glow. At first he thought his mind was playing tricks on him, but then he realized there was definitely a source of light up ahead. He gathered his remaining strength and crawled towards it. Yes, there was a small hole in the side of the mountain, and sunlight was bursting through. He had found the exit. With his last remaining strength, Wulumi crawled through the hole and collapsed on his back, his face to the sunlight. He felt his body being energized by the sun immediately. He filled his lungs with fresh air. He had made it. He could save the cubs. A few moments after exiting the hole and regaining his strength, he found a few local creatures who were also camping close to the mountain. He asked them for help, and together they climbed back up the mountain to where the cubs were trapped. From the outside, they were able to remove the rocks from the entrance of the collapsed cave. As it opened up again, sunlight filled the cave. Then Wulumi saw them, Wapiri, Waru, and the young cubs. He held Wapiri for a long time. The cubs and Waru were safe. Tragically, Wanga, Wulumi's childhood friend, was never seen again. Wulumi stopped the story and looked at Wapiri. Wapiri, for a long time I wondered about the choices I made. Were they right or wrong? Many creatures judged me. Some said I made a mistake. They argued that the right thing to do was for all the wolves to stay at the entrance of the cave, as we would have been found there. Others said I was wrong because Wanga and I should not have split up to take different tunnels. Many of the wolves were very angry at me for entering the forbidden cave. They said it was not the right thing to do. I listened to all of them, telling me what they believed I should have done, to all of them telling me what was right and how I was wrong. Wapiri, believe me when I say it was very difficult for me. At times I thought it would be so much easier to just make excuses, to shift the blame. I even considered lying to all the wolves to protect myself. But Wapiri, I am a warrior wolf, and that is not the way of the warrior. Wapiri felt sad for her uncle. He had lost his best friend, and many wolves blamed him. It must have been very difficult. Then she asked him, "What did you do, uncle?" Wulumi continued the story. Wulumi and the Wise Elder. The wisest of the warrior wolf elders summoned Wulumi. He was told to meet the wolf elder at the great hall just before sunset. When Wulumi arrived, he walked up to the old wolf, and they both bowed respectfully. The wolf elder said,
"Wulumi, there are many creatures telling you what you should have done. They are telling you what you did wrong, and they are telling you what would have been right. Wulumi, you must put them all out of your mind. Only the following questions matter. When you made your choices, did you make them according to your conviction?"
Wulumi answered,
"Yes. For me, the safety of the cubs was more important than the ancient laws, and even more important than Wanga's or my safety."
Then the elder asked the next question,
"Did you act with courage?"
Wulumi answered,
"Yes, because even though I was afraid of breaking the laws, and even though I was afraid of entering the tunnels, I did what I had to do, regardless of my fear."
Then came the elder wolf's next question.
"When you thought about the consequences of your choices, were you willing to take responsibility for them?"
Wulumi was quiet for a while. He was a warrior wolf. He was not going to make excuses or hide from everybody. He was not going to blame other creatures or circumstances. He knew he was breaking the ancient law when he initially chose to enter the cave, and that he might be cast out as the leader of the tribe. When he chose to enter the tunnels, he knew that they were very dangerous and that their lives would be in danger.
But he also knew that Waru and the cubs could die if he did not act. He knew he had made the best choice he could have made. Whatever punishment or penalty they had for him now, he would accept it. So he looked the elder in the eye and confidently said, "Yes." Finally, the elder asked one more question.
"Wulumi, did you do your very best?"
Wulumi thought back to this time in the dark tunnels. He kept looking for an exit without giving up. Even when he was already exhausted from digging, climbing and struggling, he kept going. He truly gave everything he had, and he knew he did the very best he could. So Wulumi's answer was clear. "Yes, I did my very best." Upon hearing this, the wise elder said,
"Then Wulumi, hold your head high. You made the best choice you could make. You acted according your conviction. You acted with courage, and you accepted responsibility for your choices. This is the way of the warrior wolves. You are a warrior wolf. Hold your head high."
Listening to Wulumi tell the story, Wapiri felt that her chest might burst with pride. Her uncle truly was a warrior wolf, because warrior wolves accept responsibility for the consequence of their choices. Then Wulumi said,
"Wapiri, do you know who the wise elder wolf was?"
Wapiri shook her head.
"It was my father, your grandfather, Wudala the Wise."